This is Radio Superior 1946, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1946. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the land of beautiful lakes and fall colors. Station KUWS, it's 6 o'clock Thursday, October 17th, 1946. Jack McKenna saying the bankroll that used to choke a horse is now trying its darndest to buy a used car. Lou Martin is standing by with the 6 o'clock news. The museum curator is in about a display from Germany, and I'm happy to say we'll have an installment of Gripe Line.
I hate Gripe Line.
That's the spirit, Lou. The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Newberry's Department Store with a fall bargain sale underway. Cotton and rayon hosiery for just 39 cents. Good evening, Lou.
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. The prosecutor calls for more Nazi trials. While the remains of the Nazis executed yesterday have been scattered to the wind. We begin our world shortwave radio report from Germany.
Kingsbury Smith speaking from Nuremberg. Supreme Court Justice Robert Jackson called today for the immediate prosecution of many top-flight Germans whose war crimes remain unpunished. In a report to President Truman issued by the White House, with the execution of 10 of Hitler's chief aides and the suicide of Hermann Göring, Jackson urged a new series of trials for a very large number of ex-Nazis. Jackson cited industrialists, financiers, leading cabinet ministers, diplomats, police officials, and militarists who so far have escaped retribution. He said their guilt does not differ from those already convicted in the Nuremberg trials, except, quoting him, that their parts were at lower levels and have been less conspicuous, unquote. Jackson served as chief American prosecutor. He says the industrialists and financiers certainly could be tried on such specific charges as using slave labor. In Nuremberg, this is Kingsbury Smith speaking.
This is Stan Turner at the Palace of Justice in Nuremberg. The bodies of Hermann Göring and the 10 hanged Nazi war criminals have been cremated and the ashes dispersed secretly. The announcement of the disposition of the bodies was made by prison commandant Colonel B.C. Andrus. He spoke in the name of the Allied-controlled Council, which is in charge of all details of the hangings and burials. The communique cleared up the major mystery in the wake of the hangings. The bodies were removed from the prison yesterday morning in two sealed trucks guarded by jeeps. Where cremation took place was not disclosed. Prison authorities disclosed that Field Marshal Wilhelm Keitel had planned, like Göring, to evade the gallows with suicide, but was foiled by a watchful guard. Sources inside Nuremberg jail say today that 12 German employees are under scrutiny in connection with an army board's closely veiled investigation of how, where, and when Göring got the cyanide with which he beat the hangman by 2 hours Tuesday night. The army board investigating the Göring suicide called in one by one every person who conceivably might have had some connection with the Reichsmarschall in his last days and nights in the death block. In the meantime, the Allied Control Council, which conducted the executions, disclosed that it had translations of the three notes Göring left in his cell, but said the contents would not be divulged. One was addressed to the prison commander. News of Göring's suicide and the execution of the other 10 men raced swiftly through the prison to the 7 defendants who escaped with prison terms to be served eventually in Spandau Jail, Berlin. A guard says they received the news non-committally, but gave the impression they were pleased that Göring had escaped the rope. These men, including Rudolf Hess, are to be transferred to Spandau next month. In Nuremberg, this is Stan Turner.
Soviet Foreign Minister Molotov is sailing from England to New York, where the United Nations meets next week. Fresh from the strife-ridden and unsuccessful peace conference in Paris, Mr. Molotov says that he has high hopes to resolve the governing issues of Europe. The American Federation of Labor has called on the Truman administration to change its housing goals for veterans. the AFL convention in Chicago, says that more apartments should be built instead of one-family homes to ease the housing shortage. The convention also elected 73-year-old William Green to his 24th consecutive term as AFL president. Also re-elected without opposition was Treasurer George Meany. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:08. Jack McKenna has these words from our sponsor.
Indeed I do, Lou. Newberry's bargain sale is on right now. It's the fall bargain sale. Newberry's kitchen waste receptacle, in other words, a garbage pail, for just 89 cents. Now, some of you gals want to have friends over for donuts and coffee? Why not? The donuts are only 25 cents a dozen. Even Lou could afford that. Newberry's ladies' all-wool sweaters, just $3.98. How about that? Listen to this. Boys' knit shorts, just 37 cents. Boys' sweatshirts, 90 cents in red, blue, and tan colors. Men's blue chambray work shirts, just $1.95. And it goes on and on and on, friends. Newberry's fall bargain sale. Don't you dare miss it. Lou?
Democratic Senator Claude Pepper of Florida will be the featured speaker at a rally at the Shrine Auditorium in Duluth tomorrow night. Senator Pepper will support the candidacy of John Blotnick against incumbent Congressman William Pittenger. If weather permits, the popular Proctor High School Band will lead a parade to the auditorium. Six juveniles charged with breaking and entering have been apprehended by Superior Police. Chief Arthur Buchanan says they broke into the Northwestern Oil gas station last night and stole two flashlights and a peanut vending machine. They also broke into a garage and a car in the Euclid Apartments in East End. Fire Chief Olaf Sorensen says that he won't accept delivery of a new 1,000-gallon Mack pumper fire truck. Chief Sorensen says the $10,000 truck arrived with ordinary tread tires and not snow tires. And Jack and good listeners, Santa's toy bag will be bulging this Christmas. Toy makers say that 1946 will be the biggest Christmas since 1941, with toys not available during wartime once again will be on the shelves. That includes electric trains, skates, construction sets, and metal trucks. Toys popular during the war like tanks and cannons are disappearing. One of the new toys is an electric train with an automatic whistle, Jack.
Wait a minute, Lou. I like saying choo-choo. That's the choo-choo coming around the bend. Having an automatic whistle takes the fun out of it. Thanks, Lou Martin, the hardest newsman to shop for at Christmas, so don't bother. Let's check the forecast for this Thursday, October 17th, 1946. Chilly tonight. Reminds me of an old joke. Chilly tonight and hot tamale with some light rain and a low of 34 degrees. But a little warmer tomorrow with a high near 50. Hello, Mr. Museum Curator. You know, you're not due to be on for a few more minutes.
Yes, thank you. I was wondering, perhaps maybe I could do what you always do now. You know, the music thing.
You mean you want to say it's music time?
Yes, I know I can't do it as good as you.
Well, it's part of my shtick, you know. People think it's easy, but it isn't.
It would be a thrill if it isn't too much to ask.
What the heck? Go ahead.
Yes, it's music time.
a little more gusto. You need a little more something.
Yes, yes. I shall try again. It's music time.
I hope you're okay. Here's Glenn Miller and his orchestra with Brown Jug, the Little Brown Jug, folks, on the Martin and McKenna Show. Thank you. John Miller and his orchestra and Little Brown Jug on station KUWS.
Here's something kind of fun from Iron River. The school band there is reorganizing. It disbanded during the war.
I guess when a band disbands, it really does.
Anyway, they'd like us to ask that anyone with instruments to rent or lend should contact the instructor, Ted Masson. The Iron River Band was noted for its Sunday concerts.
Coincidentally, friends, I play the jug. Maybe we could get a little band together, eh? Harriet on the piano, Ray the harmonica, and you could book engagements for us.
I could sing a little.
No, you can't. The only key you can find is one that starts your car.
But it'd be fun to be in a band.
Sorry, pal. Here's Woody Herman with Bing Crosby and Deep in the Heart of Texas on the Martin and McKenna Band Show.
The stars at night are big and bright, deep in the heart of Texas. The prairie sky is wide and high, deep in the heart of Texas. The sage in bloom is like perfume, deep in the heart of Texas. Reminds me of the one I love, deep in the heart of Texas. Big and bright, deep in the heart of Texas. The prairie sky is wide and high, deep in the heart of Texas. The sage in bloom is like perfume, deep in the heart of Texas. Reminds me of the one I love, deep in the heart of Texas.
Woody Herman with Bing Crosby and Deep in the Heart of Texas on station KUWS.
Let me introduce Douglas County Museum Curator Gerald Stowe. Good evening. I understand that you have a new exhibit.
Yes, it is a triumph. Although some people, yes, are a little upset by it. You see, the artifacts come from Germany.
I suppose people need a little cooling off period before they're ready to spend an afternoon looking at German stuff.
If you don't mind, I'm doing the interview. So, Mr. Stowe, people probably are still sensitive about Germany.
Precisely. But these articles of history will be cherished decades and even centuries from now. Yes, telling the lurid tale of an entire people who fell under the spell of a man with a vision of madness. Yes, and these are items brought from Germany by a soldier from Superior. Walter Peck collected some very unusual pieces. These are photographs taken by Germans, so we are looking through the lens of an enemy camera. Yes, Mr. Peck has pictures of Adolf Hitler. Such cold, dark eyes and, yes, that awful haircut. And there's a picture of the Luftwaffe flying over England. And, yes, German soldiers goose-stepping through Berlin in their glory days. But that's not all. Mr. Peck has German money, Reichsmarks, German playing cards, wooden shoes, large German beer steins, and the mess kit of a German soldier.
I hear German playing cards don't have any hearts.
Yes, that's humorous.
Anyway, you can't blame people for being sore at the Germans. And this exhibit might just get people riled up.
Yes, yes, perhaps. But there is more than war articles. Mr. Peck visited Oberammergau and brought back many lovely things. Yes, it is my hope to show the German culture in a favorable time, too.
History in perspective.
Yes.
That's the idea?
Yes, yes, thank you, Mr. Martin. We will exhibit hand-carved figures from Oberammergau.
I don't think that's quite enough to quiet criticism of putting on a display of Germany.
What are the figures, Mr. Stroh?
Well, yes, thank you. They are carved figures of two tiny angels hovering over the Christ child.
Thank you, Douglas County Museum Curator Gerald Stowe.
We'll also have coffee and Black Forest chocolate cake. I thought that might help, too.
That guarantees Lou will be here. Lifeline is next. Let's hear from Dick Hames now, and I'll get by on Martin and McKenna Show.
I'll get by. I won't complain, I'll see it through. Poverty may come to me, it's true, but what care I, say I'll get by.
Dick Hames, and I'll get by on station KUWS.
That was a lousy song. The coffee here stinks. How come there's no rolls? Smells funny in here.
It didn't until you came in, pal.
I'll take a whack at it. You must be here for the grapevine.
Hey, Hartley Bogason of Bennett, and your tie is so out of date it ought to be shot.
Bennett's a nice town.
It's all right. Good people, as long as they mind their own beeswax. Some folks stick their noses into other people's business, then look out. Complain. So I decides to get out of town for a few hours today. I tells my brother, Yelmer, I'm coming up to Superior.
I bet he appreciated the warning.
First, I thought I'd find the New York Giants football team practicing the air about that so much. And all you people have such made a big deal out of these fellows. I figured I'd go see what the excitement was about. I couldn't find them.
They train here in August. Then they leave for New York in September.
Fine. They can be that way if they want. There's other things for A. Hartley Bogason to do, you know. Check out the sights, the aerial lift bridge in Duluth, Incline Railroad, And Anger Tower, figured I'd go up to Anger Tower. It's the highest one in the city, I'm told, and let out a little frustration.
It's Anger Tower, not Anger Tower.
So Yalmer tells me, take the bus to 21st and Tower. That's a bus that goes to Duluth. You can usually get a good seat at 21st and Tower on that bus stop. Well, I waits. I'm getting steamed. I'm getting steamed. Some buses go by marked Broadway or 3rd Street and some other thing, but not Duluth. None of them said Duluth. Just about time I thought a cop was going to arrest me for vagrancy, I called Yammer. I says, what gives? And then he tells me that sometimes the bus turn around at 16th and Tower and not 21st. Now he tells me.
So your gripe is with your brother.
Yalmer? Nah, he's my brother. I can't get steamed at him. I'm steamed at the bus company, and I'm steamed at big city life. I'm too confusing, too complicated. I'm going home.
Hey, the folks back home appreciate that warning, too.
Thanks, Mr. A. Hartley Bogerson of Bennett.
I'm not done. I'm steamed about this so-called meat shortage we got going on. There's no meat shortage. Heck, just on the way here, I picked up a rabbit, a raccoon, a turkle, a skunk. They're kind of flat, but that just makes them tender in the stew.
Oh, boy.
Oh, jeez.
Better play some music before he invites us to dinner.
Good idea, Ollie. Here's Harry James and Pretty Kitty Callan, and I'm beginning to see the light. Oh, yeah. On the Martin and McKenna Show.
You're welcome to stop by for some roadkill stew tonight.
Oh, boy.
Bum. Harry James and his orchestra with Pretty Kitty Callan. And I'm beginning to see the light on station KUWS. You know, I might not have gripe line for a while.
Tired of people complaining?
Well, let's just say this show was hard to stomach. Kids, be sure to tune in every afternoon at 5 o'clock for Hop Harrigan, Superman, Captain Midnight, and Tom Mix. We'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial, the good Lord willing, and we don't take the wrong bus. For Lou Martin, then, this is Jack McKenna, wishing one and all a good night.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1946, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Other performances by Pat Kelly. All events reported on Radio Superior 1946 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.